But Luke chapter 19, I invite you to open up there. As we're turning there, we do want to welcome, we do have some visitors with us, and we're thankful that you could be here, and thankful that you could make it out our way. Tonight's going to be a little bit different of, it's not really a sermon, per se. I thought it would be nice, this is the last Sunday night of the year that I will get to speak. Next Sunday night will be our normal last Sunday of the month devotional period. And so I thought it would be good to just take a few minutes to take a break and look back on everything that we've done this year. You know, a lot of churches I've seen or been to have a theme. But very rarely do they do anything to fulfill the theme that they've put in place. It's more just something to fill a spot on the bulletin or a reason to make a t-shirt or whatever the congregation wants to do. But as we, myself and the elders, sat down about this time last year and we started talking about where we want this congregation to go, we started talking about there's a need for evangelism. We have people in our midst who need help, who are suffering, whether it's physically or spiritually, or whatever it is. And we decided to come up with the theme to seek and save, taken from the scriptures, obviously, in Luke chapter 19. And we set out to accomplish two things. And the first Sunday of the year of 2013, the elders told you what those two things were. We were going to focus on seeking and saving the lost in this congregation. And number two, we were going to focus on seeking and saving the lost outside of this congregation. So there's really two goals there, two main focal points. We got our inspiration from Luke chapter 19. It's a familiar story to many people about Zacchaeus. Wee little man was he, right? We sing that song with our kids. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Tax collectors were not known to be the best people in the world or the most honest people in the world. They would actually steal money from their fellow Jews and keep a lot back for themselves while sending the rest off in tribute to Rome. And so a lot of people didn't like Zacchaeus. They knew he was a sinner. They knew that he was someone that stole, but yet there was nothing they could do about his stealing because he worked for the Roman government. But yet it was his house that Jesus decided to go to. And Jesus decided to spend the day with him. And of course, Zacchaeus has a change of heart and gives his life to Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house, in verse 9, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. You know, there's many times in Jesus' teachings and during his ministry where he would go out and seek out the sinners of the world. Seek out the low people of society. Seek out the people that no one else wanted to talk to. And the Pharisees and other people who considered themselves righteous would always say, what's he doing eating with those sinners? What's he doing talking with those people? And Jesus says, that's what I came to do. Someone who is well does not need a physician, but those who are sick. And at the beginning of the year, we looked at that concept of, you know, sometimes we come to church with the intent of making ourselves well. We need a pick-me-up. We need help. And so we come to church and we seek it, or we just get that little encouragement to go along the week. But if we really look at ourselves and we ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? Jesus would come not to fulfill his own wants, but the needs and the wants of other people. And so that's what we spent our year focusing on, seeking and saving the lost. Whether it was members of this congregation or people outside in the community. I thought it would be interesting and beneficial and encouraging to take a look back at this year and see how, as a congregation, we fulfilled this goal of seek and save. Now, in another 2 weeks, the elders are going to have a presentation on Sunday morning looking at our past and looking into our future on what's coming up. And so I don't want to step on their toes, but what I thought would be interesting is look specifically at this idea of seek and save. And they'll have other things that they're going over as well. If you think about our theme of seek and save, what I tried to do this year was I tried to not only get Bible classes together that would have to do with the theme, but also look at not every Sunday, but at least every month, one or two sermons that focused on the theme of seek and save. And so we had sermons like we started out the year with the redemption of Peter. And we looked at how everyone deserves a second chance and how no matter how what we've done wrong or how bad we are, we deserve to be redeemed by Jesus Christ. And so do our friends and family members. And so it's our responsibility to go help bring them to Christ. We looked at this question, which is necessary in looking at seeking and saving the lost. Is baptism necessary? And we looked at how to teach other people about why baptism is necessary. We looked at some of the reasons people give not to be baptized and how we can talk to our friends and family members about those things. We've looked at how we can develop and use our own talents, that each one of us has something special that God has given us, and we can use it for the furtherance of God's kingdom. We've looked at, after we've found out our talent, we need to be a doer. We don't just sit back and sit on our talents, but we need to actually use the talents that God has given us. And we looked at also doing the Lord's work. Now, this was a sermon that I did when I first got here, and I did it again halfway through the year, to help, again, encourage us that we all have a part in God's kingdom. And we all need to pick up our tools, we all need to pick up our slack and get to work in God's kingdom. We looked at this sermon, and it was referenced a few weeks ago when the elders addressed the congregation about a situation that came up. But this is probably, I think the last time I checked, this is the most listened to sermon on our website, Divided We Stand. In that, we looked at how come there's so many different churches in the area, and how come we can go down the street and look at this church, and we can go down the street this way, and there's another church, and yet if you go to our church and these other churches, no one does anything the same. They're all different. And so how do we get so different? And we looked at the differences between things like denominational and non-denominational, between liberal and conservative, and those kinds of things. And then how do we bring the Bible into those specifically? How do we talk to our friends about the biblical church that God has established? And we looked at teamwork in evangelism, the concept that we all have a part to play in the role of evangelism here at this congregation. We looked at, and this one wins my favorite picture of the year, I think, but we looked at buffet Christianity, on how a lot of people, when they go through the Bible and when they are looking for a church, they start picking and choosing things that they either want to follow from the Bible or not want to follow. Well, I like it when Jesus says this, but I don't like it when he says this. I like it that he says you need to be here every first day of the week, but I don't like it when he says I need to be baptized or whatever. And so we looked at the attitudes that people have, and they're just picking and choosing. And it's just like a buffet. They're going right down the line and picking what they like and what they don't and leaving what they don't. We looked at the idea of how can I respond to sin? How should I respond to sin? Then when I see a friend or family member, the lost that we've been trying to focus on this year, what should my reaction be to the lost of this world? Should I approach them, and should I be bothered by sin, and should I talk to them about their sin? Or should I just let sin win? And should I let them continue living the life of sin? And should I just let them do whatever they want to do? We should be willing to talk to people about sin in order to get them to come to Jesus Christ. We looked at how, if we're redeeming our time wisely that God has given us, are we fulfilling the responsibilities God has given us to do while we're here on His earth? We looked at, what's the difference? What's the difference between one church and the other? What's the difference between churches today and churches of the book that we see in the book of Acts? What's the difference in how to give biblical responses to different questions people might have in order to get them to understand what the Bible is actually trying to teach? We looked at how any one of us can do evangelism. How we all have our part, we all have a role in what goes on at this church, and we can evangelize using our everyday contacts, using our everyday relationships that we go, whether it's at work or school or the coffee shop, we can evangelize just by simply making contact with different people. We looked at, in everything we do, when we evangelize, our first and foremost point of importance is keeping the word. On how whenever we teach somebody, whenever we're talking to someone about Jesus Christ, we are to keep the word. That is our number one goal, to follow God's blueprint and nothing else. 1 Peter or 2 Peter tells us that we have everything that pertains to life and godliness. 2 Timothy tells us that the word of God is complete. And so why would we extend beyond what God wants us to have? And so we talked about keeping God's word no matter what. That's our motivation. That's our example. We talked about, because a lot of people were asking questions, that I think this next one was about September, October. A lot of people were asking questions, you know, what do we tell our friends or family members when they ask, what should I expect when we come to a church service? And so we looked at the sermon, When We Come Together, what we do when we come together. We looked at specifically some of the things that when we evangelize, we might need to talk to our friends and family members about what to expect so they feel more comfortable coming here and partaking with us. We looked at the Walking Dead. This was around Halloween time, if you remember. We looked at the Walking Dead and Ezekiel making the dry bones rise again. And just like we may become dead in sin, we can be made to rise up in newness of life. And that's a message that our friends need to hear and family members need to hear. That when you're living in sin, you are dead. We're nothing better than zombies, spiritual zombies. And we need to rise up in newness of life. We looked at remember who you are. That there's a lot of people in this world, and we kind of talked about this a little bit today in our Bible class portion, didn't we? Where we talked about a lot of people are playing this two-faced game, where around some people they like to be one way, and around other people they like to be another way. And really, this one was more for our brethren on trying to get back on the right track, not being caught somewhere in the middle of acting like a Christian when they're in church and acting like someone else when they're out of church. And then we finished them up, and you remember this was just a few weeks ago, they shall be known by their fruits. Kind of the same aspect of the lesson previous to that, where we need to practice what we preach. And so you see that throughout the year, what I've tried to do is stick directly to this theme on various different topics to see that there's so many ways that we can seek and save the lost. And there's so many people that need to be sought out and need to be saved. The elders thought it would be beneficial to have a gospel meeting this year in March 2013. And so we had Mike Wilson to come out and do 8 sermons, 8 lessons on the idea of teamwork in evangelism. And if you remember what we went over there, we went over 8 different things about how you and I can become involved in evangelism right away. And we looked at how Ecclesiastes, we all need to have God in our lives. And Mike talked about the role of prayer in evangelism, how prayer is the most important and essential thing when we're evangelizing. Because without God's help, we can't do anything. And so at our at-home Bible studies, we end every session with a prayer. And that's very beneficial. We looked at how team evangelism is probably one of the more effective ways to evangelize. We looked at how to build faith, how to get other people to start building faith within their hearts and in their minds. We talked about evangelism and religious capital. I think that one right there, evangelism and religious capital, the last time I checked was the most listened to gospel meeting sermon. Because that one, if you remember, talked about a lot of our friends and family members are already established in their ways or in their religion or at their church. How do we get them to see that maybe God's way isn't necessarily being followed with what they're doing currently? And how do you get them to sway? How do you get them to change their religious capital back to the way God wants it to go? And that's a very beneficial lesson. And all these lessons are on the website if you want to go back and listen to them. If you're kind of recalling some of the things from March or throughout the year and you want to go back and listen, all of these are on the website. We looked at why healthy churches grow, and I think it was 7 attributes of healthy churches. And are we a healthy church? And without those 7 attributes, we can't grow. We looked at motives for evangelism, and we looked at how to move prospects towards baptism. And from this stemmed a 3-month-long Bible class that we did, 1 quarter for 3 months devoted to strictly evangelism. That the Sunday after Mike left, if you remember, for 3 months we met here on this side of the building. And we talked about so many different, various topics. And we talked about things like turning contacts into prospects. We talked about how to get that everyday contact that we've talked about a few times already, and how to move them towards really wanting to hear and understand the gospel. We talked about finding our role in evangelism and what we can do. And we talked about finding your strengths, that different people have different strengths. And we talked about finding what we're good at the church and doing it. And a lot of people have really stepped up and just done remarkable things. And from this class, We're going to talk about two things here in just a second. From this class stemmed two huge things that are going on at this church currently. The at-home Bible studies and the work groups. And we'll talk about those in just a minute. But other classes that we've had this year trying to focus on this theme, we had a three-month-long class on being transformed, transforming ourselves into someone Christ wants us to be. And hopefully what we learned from that is how to help transform others as well. And where to take them in the Bible to show them, here's how a Christian should act. Here's how Christ wants us to act. And we looked at the book of Romans for that. And then right now what we're going over, the questions Christians hope no one will ask. Again, with the idea of hopefully somewhere along the line, whether it's tomorrow or 3 months or 3 years or 30 years from now, you will, if someone asks you these questions that we're going over in our Sunday morning classes, you won't be at a loss for words. You'll be able to talk to them about how do you know God exists without using the Bible. Oh, well, let me tell you a few facts. Or, what can you tell me about the Bible being true and accurate? Because aren't there a lot of discrepancies in the Bible? Let me pull out some notes and let me tell you about the Bible. And so all of our classes this year have been tried to be geared towards this idea of what can we do to help seek and save the lost. We did start our at-home Bible studies this year, which have just been tremendously successful. We've already had 7 studies, and if you've been participating in the studies or you've been coming on Sunday nights regularly, you've sat through all these studies, and so we're not going to go over each one, but the titles are there. And from my best estimate, and I was trying to, some I had written down and others I was just trying to recall in my mind. My best estimate, we've had at least 14 different visitors in 7 classes. That's a really, really good number. Most of those came more than once. No one's been every time, which is okay because some people go out of town and have things pop up, and that's okay. But most of those have come more than once, which means there's an interest there. Which means they want to keep learning. And in fact, this past study we had just a few weeks ago, Lillian has been bringing her friend Pat. And Pat came in on that Tuesday night of our study, and she said, "I'm moving." And so, of course, my mind was, here was an opportunity, and she's moving away. And she said, "Is there a church in Hemet, California, where I'm moving?" And I said, "Yes, there is." And she says, "Can I have the address?" And so that night, we found the address for her. We wrote it down and gave it to her. She goes, I really like these studies, and I really want to be somewhere when I'm down there. And so if just one out of the 14 is going to try to stay faithful or want to learn more, that's great. That's one more we never would have had if we didn't have these at-home Bible studies. But the thing is, we're always getting new people. And we're always getting new interests. And we'll look at a few things in a minute that are helping make these at-home Bible studies successful. But it's the church here are passing out the information we have and inviting friends. And that's what's making these so successful. And so at least 14 different people have heard about our church and heard about the gospel because of these at-home Bible studies, which is amazing. And so we're going to keep up the good work there. We helped establish the work groups. We have three different work groups. We have the prayer group, the family focus group, and the follow-up group. And these groups, what I've tried to do, I've talked to a few of you about this in the past couple weeks. What I tried to do, we established these groups in our evangelism class on Sunday nights. And I put leaders in charge of the groups. And then what I did was I stepped back completely. What I didn't want was for me to be directing each and every group. And for me to be attending every group, and every time the group says, "Oh, Kevin, should we do this? Can we do this?" And it's now the groups that Kevin has established and not the groups, the individual groups. And I can't tell you how pleased I am to see the different groups and how much they've grown and what they've accomplished in not even a year. If you think about some of the things we've started this year just because of our groups, things like exit greeters, Every Sunday, there's people back there with name tags, passing out roses to the visitors, making contact with people that would normally slip out. And this isn't just for visitors. That's for people who maybe they're the last in the morning and the first out, and we never get to see them. And they're back there trying to pull people aside and getting to know them more, getting them to be more involved. And that's been a huge work that this church has gone through these past few months. There's a constant prayer list that the prayer group puts up on the back bulletin board. And there's a reason why those bulletin boards are up there. So that if you're not in the prayer group, you can go look at the prayer list. If you're not in the family focus group, you can go look at their notes or whatever it is. And so I see people back there at the prayer list. Maybe, you know, I forget one on the bulletin, which I've been known to do, but the prayer group has it on their list. And people are back there looking and writing down names, and that's great. Because as we've talked about, prayer is the most important part of evangelism and seeking and saving the lost. Cards, calls, and visits are happening on a regular basis. And I think between the three groups, I hope no one is getting left out, but one group has sign-up sheets to go visit, that even if you're not in their group, sign up with somebody and you can go visit the home confined. And cards are going out constantly. We're replenishing cards, replenishing stamps that are kept back here in this room, which is good. It means they're being used. And then there's an absent member list that is being done to make sure that we're not only focusing on the outside, but we're focusing on the inside. And the members that are absent, we're trying to keep in contact with them too and encourage them to be back. And I don't want to mention anyone by name because there's people I will leave out, but there's people that are doing these every Sunday all the time, and I think we're growing because of it. It's going really, really well. We have new materials that we've made up here. Things like the card, that little business card that I keep having to make, which is great because it means that you're filling your name in with your phone and email or whatever it is, and you're passing the cards out and you're inviting people to studies, or even if it's not to a study, you're at least trying to get the church information out so that they can come visit or have a Bible study. We had our bookmarks made, where it talks about who we are as a church, and it has our meeting times on there, what they need to do to be saved. It fits right in the Bible, so you can keep it in your Bible and always pass it out to somebody, and those are always available as well. And then we have a new series of tracts coming. You might have noticed in the back, the elders and I have been talking about this. The first one is done. The series of tracts is going to be called What the Bible Says About, and then each tract will be something new. And the one that's out there now, the first one that's done, is probably the most important, is that we need to follow God's blueprint. And so if you remember my illustration of the castle that I've used over and over again, it's in there. And so some people have come up to me and said, I was with a friend, I was trying to study, and I couldn't remember the castle illustration. Well, grab this and hand it to them. It's in there, and all you have to do is let them read it, and hopefully good things happen. And so a whole series, we're going to try to have one on baptism, how to spend church money, church membership, placing your membership at a church, singing a cappella, why we don't use instruments, and there's going to be other various topics that we're going to have. And that's going to be a whole series in the next couple weeks, couple months. And so be looking for those. And then lastly, just a few little extra things that I could think of. We had our first ever youth lectureship where we tried to get our friends to stand up for Jesus in hopes to go talk to other people about Jesus with myself and Josh Higgins. We made door hangers at the beginning of the year. Some of you remember this. And we passed out to all the homes in the area. And we still have more, and we're going to be doing that again to help seek and save. And so, you know, we're really trying to get out into the community. But probably one of the biggest things that we've done this year is we have a brand new website. And this website has been instrumental in a lot of things that have gone on here. As an admin on the website to help in the back end of things, I can go in and see how many people are viewing the website, how many people are viewing each in particular sermon or bulletin article or whatever it is. And it seems to me that the numbers just keep going up and up and up and up. And in fact, I've said this a few times in the past couple weeks. We had a lady here that sat next to Judy and Charles. The only reason she came to visit us is because she saw our website. She was going to go somewhere else until she saw our website and then came. And this is going to be a huge beneficial tool in the future. It already has been, where you can get announcements. Every member can have their own account where you can get news and updates and announcements. And it's so beneficial to have a website. When you look at all this put together, can you believe that's only been done in 1 year? I mean, that's 1 year. We started in January. And really, with the latter half of the stuff, it started at Mike Wilson's meeting. And when Mike Wilson came in March, so from March until now, you really look at how much this church has accomplished. It amazes me what's going on here. The elders will have more specific numbers and things when they talk in a few weeks, but our contribution's up. Our numbers are up. And you look, it's easy to see why. Because the people here, I think, are taking the word team evangelism to heart. Because the evangelism is not just falling on one person or two people. It's the church working together. As I close this evening, there was a quote I said at the very beginning of the year. And I held off repeating this because I wanted to see what this church could do on its own. Normally, 5% of Christians are evangelistic in their efforts. 5%. That means if we had a church of 100 people, which that's about what we do, that only 5 people would be active in the evangelism here. When I look at what we've done this past year, we blow 5% out of the water. And that's something to be proud of. I mean, that's something that a lot of churches wish they had. A lot of churches wish they had people that would do half the stuff that we've done this past year. And it's just amazing to look back. And that's why I wanted to do this tonight. It's because this is not a normal sermon, and I understand that. But for the members here, it's important to look at what we've done just in this 1 year in regards to our theme. Now, like I said, the elders will have more to talk about in a couple weeks. But when I see this church, I see a church that's growing. I see a church that's headed in the right direction. I see a church that I'm proud to be the preacher at, and I hope that you're proud to be a member at. And I'm so thankful that this church decided together to take a major step forward. And I hope that next year in 2014, we're just going to build on this. And I hope that a year from now, at the end of December in 2014, I can give another sermon like this, and I can look back on all the things we did to focus on the family and build upon what we've already done. And I hope that the presentation will be even longer and there's going to be more stuff. Because I really think that this church is capable of extraordinary things. If we can do this in 1 year, imagine what we can do a couple years from now. And so, keep working hard. It doesn't go unnoticed. And I'm just excited for what's to come. Again, this wasn't a sermon to help bring anyone to the gospel, but I hope by maybe something we talked about tonight, you could be encouraged to maybe start living your life right, or maybe give your life to Jesus Christ. And we all need the waters of baptism. And maybe you're someone that's here tonight that has been lost in the world of sin. And through the topics that we've discussed and through the work that we've done, maybe you've been touched tonight and you need to either be baptized or you need to start making changes in your life. If there's anything we can do for you this evening, come forward as we stand and as we sing.